Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He really seemed like a nice guy. He genuinely seemed to have their best interests in mind, to be looking out for them. Did God really say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? No, you must have misunderstood what God meant. You will surely not die. Maybe this creator of yours is just a killjoy, wanting you not to be like him. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be just like he is, knowing good and evil. What harm can it do? Is God really so concerned with what you eat? So the devil came to Eve while her husband stood wickedly by, refusing to defend his bride. He offered them what he convinced them was a better way. His offer to you is the same. He offers to give you what you suppose and he suggests is best for you. Did God really say? No, you must have misunderstood. Perhaps God said that for a while, but times are different. God gave you your body after all. He must intend for you to enjoy these pleasures without inhibition. Did God really say, "Well then, be done with him," entreats the devil. "I'll be a much friendlier, much nicer God." Did God really say, "You cannot serve him and any other God"? "I'm not so selfish. I'll let you have as many gods as you would like." Did God really call you to a life of self-denial? What a killjoy. Come to my church, where talk of sin is seldom and never accusatory, not against you. That's the devil's greatest trick, to get you to turn into yourself. Who, after all, knows what's best for you better than you do? Certainly not God. With all of his seemingly arbitrary, archaic laws, certainly not earthly authorities, certainly not parents or pastors or the Word of God. No, you are your own best God, he says. If you've ever accused God of not caring, you have succumbed to the devil's assaults. If you've lamented how much you have had to sacrifice for your children or your spouse or your parents or your congregation, you have been his prey. If you've chosen to skip a divine service, you've taken your needs into your own hands, believing that you know better what's in your best interest than your Lord. It is the same as Adam's eating in the garden, assuming to know for himself what was best for him. Repent. All Christians face such attacks. For the adversary never relents, but continually tries to wrench us away from Christ and our baptism by means of hunger or persecution, by worldly fame or wealth, by heresy or false interpretation of scriptures, so that we may give way to despair and vainglory. But you can learn from Christ's encounter with Satan how to deal with and how to overcome this adversary. However, this only happens with true faith in God and his word. Whoever thus arms himself properly will be able to withstand the devil, but whoever fails to do so will certainly be helpless against this most deadly adversary. After his baptism, Jesus went out into the wilderness to fast. There, after God the Father had declared of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," the devil came to tempt him. So also you. Every baptized Christian has a similar fate. Where you were marked with the cross, sealed with the name of the Holy Trinity, declared to be God's own child, with whom he is well pleased, the devil takes notice. Those not baptized, those who have no faith, who do not belong to God, cause the devil little concern. He doesn't lose any sleep over them. But those who belong to God are a particular problem for the devil. When you are baptized, the devil becomes your adversary. He becomes your enemy. And he wants nothing more than to destroy your faith and to lure you away from God as he did your first parents in the garden. They weren't big sins the devil sought from Jesus. In fact, what the devil offers is not inherently sinful. Desiring to eat bread, trusting in God to protect him, and even obtaining all the kingdoms of the earth are not sinful desires for Jesus. But the devil twists God's good gifts for Jesus as for you to get Jesus to have them on his own terms. It's just bread. And you need bread after all. So if the boss says, work on Sunday mornings or you'll have no pay to buy bread, you work. Or if your budget tells you the only way to afford bread is by dipping into the 10% that's not yours to spend, lest God calls it robbery, you buy bread. But bread rots. Maybe it fills your belly for a while, but your belly is not your God, and it can't save you. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, Jesus answered. If you won't make bread, if you will foolishly trust your heavenly Father, then put his provision to the test. Just a small test. If you are his beloved son, with whom he is well pleased, then just prove it. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Hasn't he promised to protect you? But Jesus is undeterred. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So, rebuffed, but undeterred, the devil makes a third attempt. What's the Son of God without some honor, right? You need some kingdoms, Jesus. Add some glory to your name. Just fall down and worship me only once, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. There's no need to endure suffering and death that lay ahead of you. Why die for these people anyway? What do they offer? I'm offering glory. Why bother with the cross, Christian? When Joel Osteen and TV preachers downplay the cross in favor of telling you that God wants you to have prosperity and success and happiness and comfort in this life right now. No, Jesus answered. Be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. These temptations are still yours today. The devil puts such thoughts into people's hearts like, if you are a child of God, God could never be angry with you. So keep on hoarding and being covetous. Go ahead and meddle to your heart's content into the affairs of the world. No harm is done. You are not sinning if you do. So by saying and getting you to say, I am a child of God, the devil puts a lid over sin, implying that as such, you cannot sin or do wrong. The devil wants to ease your conscience, to take away the threats of God's wrath, and have you attend more to bread than to the precious word of God. It is the devil's will that you skip the divine service, that you duck out without coming to Bible class, that you miss your daily prayers. It is the devil's will that you refuse or deny to gather your family together around God's word. He delights when you do his will. But he is no nice guy. Making him happy is the greatest mistake you can do. The devil is real, and he is your enemy. He is the father of lies. And he is remarkably convincing. He is more clever than you, and he has been practicing his art for thousands of years. Adam fell, and every descendant of his has fallen. But where Adam failed, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, succeeded. Adam gave in to the temptation to make himself his God, but Jesus submitted to his Father's will. The first man made his belly his God, but the God-man would not bow to his belly. Where the first man chose sin over fellowship with God, the new man chose to set aside his fellowship within the Trinity in order to become sin in your place. Jesus lived by faith, trusting his Father's purpose in sending him to take on human flesh to redeem humanity. Adam lived for himself. Jesus lived for Adam and for you. And he won. He defeated the devil by resisting this onslaught of temptation. He withstood the temptation of self-preservation, choosing instead to endure the cross. Jesus is not a mere example for how to overcome temptation, do what he did. He is the victor. He crushed the devil's head when he died on the cross. He took your sin, all of it, and he paid for it. And the devil's accusation against you, beloved child of God, is silenced. His mouth is filled with the blood of Jesus, and he can utter no syllable against you. Make no mistake, the devil is still your enemy. He lost the battle against the Lord, and he loses the battle against the Lord's church. Individual Christians are his only target. Blessed Dr. Luther once quipped, "Where God built a church, there the devil would build a chapel." He doesn't need to fight against the world. She is already his ally. He doesn't need to aim the poison darts of temptation at those who have no faith. They already belong to him. So the devil takes aim at you. He knows that willful, persistent sin destroys faith. He knows that little sins are easier to talk you into than big ones. And he knows that he has two strong allies in this fight against you, your sinful flesh and the world. But your Lord defeated the devil, overcame the world, and crucified your sinful flesh, not for himself, but for you. He defeated the devil for you on the cross. And at the day of your baptism, he snatched you, wrenched you out of the devil's kingdom. You belong to him. And he has placed his holy name upon you in baptism. He has claimed you as his beloved child. And he promises, as St. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape, that you may be enabled to endure it. What is the way of escape in every temptation? His means of grace. When temptation is fierce, when the devil's accusations ring in your ears, God has appointed a louder, clearer voice to ring in your ears, the crystal clear preaching of his word. He speaks to you through the office of the keys, declaring your sin forgiven, obliterated in holy absolution. Forgiveness is the Lord's way of escape. And in your struggle against sin, you have sustenance. The one who withstood the attacks of the devil in the wilderness gives to you his body and his blood to forgive your sins and to strengthen you when you are in this wilderness of temptation. Jesus won. His Holy Supper is the foretaste of the victory banquet. As he places and pours the body and blood, the only body and blood that have ever withstood the attacks of the devil and emerged triumphant and sin-free into your mouth, you taste his sweet victory over the devil, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.